Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours and four more days, we will talk sports and other things. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam, Cody.
Doing good, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. How are you?
I'm all right. Nothing to complain about, nothing to report on this Tuesday afternoon. Actually, I'll take that back. I'm not very good right now.
Why not?
Matt, the Titans.
What happened?
Said they're not going to get a deal done with Derrick Henry.
Really?
Yeah, so I wore my shirt here today as a form of protest.
As a form of protest?
Or a form of support, I guess, to let King Henry know I'm in his corner.
Do you think he appreciates that?
I hope so. I mean, I don't know if he does or not, but I hope he does. I don't know him personally, but maybe he'll see this.
I'm sure he will.
Let him know. You know, maybe there'll be a lot of support for him. Just fan base aside, you know, it's a weird time right now. They kept saying they wanted to get a long-term deal done, but the story of the day is that they have Adam Schefter reports the Titans aren't going to get a long-term deal done with Derrick Henry.
Must not be too much of a priority.
They say it's the, I don't know if it's the COVID. I don't know if the COVID's got the salary situation all up in arms, and you don't know how much money to give somebody when we don't know what the salary cap's going to look like tomorrow. I don't know if that's the main reason. I don't know if they just couldn't come to agreement on the figures or the years or what, but for one reason or another, the Titans said they don't think they're going to get a deal done before tomorrow's deadline, which that was the update yesterday on Dak Prescott as well. Cowboys saying they didn't expect to get a deal done with Dak Prescott either. So maybe it's just a sport-wide thing right now. I haven't heard from Bill O'Brien and the Texans. Bill O'Brien and the Texans probably confused as to what they're supposed to be doing right now. Bill O'Brien's probably working on next year's trades, trying to see what he can get for Deshaun Watson. And whether or not the Colts would give up Phillip Rivers for him.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. He could probably get it done.
But those were three of the big extensions we were waiting to see. You know, the two quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, and, you know, me, as a Titans fan, I was wanting to see if the Titans got a long-term deal worked out with Derrick Henry. And yesterday we had the two updates from we had an update from the Cowboys yesterday and then this morning from Adam Schefter saying the Titans didn't look like they're getting a deal done. So maybe it's just a up-in-the-arms type of thing right now.
Up in the air?
Or up in the air thing, yeah, excuse me. Up in the air type thing where no one knows how much money is going to be available next year. No one knows what the salary cap is going to be. So maybe these long-term deals aren't going to get done for that reason.
Well, you know, I'm sure they'll get it worked out.
Well, they can't now. I mean, like once you, the Titans, once they, you know, once the July 15 deadline runs and for the Cowboys, you know, the Texans, I think, have a little bit more time since Deshaun Watson's not in the last year of his deal. It was an extension for him. But the Cowboys and the Titans will be in a situation where they can't work on a deal before the year. This is the deadline. Mm. They will have to go through the year trying to they'll have to go through the year as is and then reevaluate next offseason.
Right, right. They'll get it worked out, though, at some point.
Well, yeah, I mean, next year, I have less confidence that next year, you know, if you didn't want to sign a 26-year-old running back to a deal, I doubt you're going to want to sign a 27-year-old running back to a deal. So maybe it's a situation where they are just looking at their franchise, kind of the face of their franchise, for better or worse, as a two-year investment. Like, we'll just franchise tag you 2 years in a row. I don't know.
Point is, one way or another, you know, it'll sort out.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could say that about anything in the world.
Right.
That one way or the other, the thing's going to get settled one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Now,
yep. That's the beauty of the world, really. You know, you can sort anything out.
Not always. Not always. Some things just continue to drag on. I mean, peace in the Middle East, you know.
World hunger.
Yeah, like those things just aren't getting better or as you say, working themselves out.
You probably could settle them, you know. You just don't.
Well, yeah, sure. You said beauty is that one way or the other is going to work itself out. I was just saying it, not always the case. Sometimes it just drags on. And, you know, maybe not so much in contracts with sports, but not everything in the world.
I mean, the situation resolves eventually, though.
Again, maybe, maybe not. There's been unrest.
Maybe not. Maybe it's not
the. It hasn't been solved in how many years now?
Well, maybe it's not the solution you hope
for.
It may not be the solution you hope for, but it does always work out in some way, you know, whether it be more killing or more hunger. Wouldn't that be considered?
That wouldn't be considered working itself out. No, that would just
not in a positive way.
That would just be considered continuing the dilemma or the problem. Yeah. It just continues like there's no solution.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Just kind of just let society, let time
rivers,
keep ticking.
Rivers.
Just keep flowing, you know?
Rivers, that's another good example. They always just kind of keep going.
They just keep flowing.
You know? The Energizer Bunny.
I haven't seen much of him lately.
Yeah, I heard he was sick.
They kept saying he just kept going and going and going, but I haven't seen him in a long time. When was the last time we saw the Energizer Bunny? Can we get a
Energiner?
Can we get a wellness check on him, please?
I actually heard he was down with the COVID-19. I heard that the Energizer Bunny got struck by the pandemic, and he's actually been in pretty rough shape.
Hoping he was gone way before then, though.
Hoping he climbs out of it.
I mean, I feel like I haven't seen the Energizer Bunny in a decade.
Maybe they're out of money. Is Duracell taking the lead on the? Battery.
I've seen the Duracell. Duracell, I feel like, just went with the, hey, we're going to make sure that first responders fire flashlights work.
Right.
Like, if we're rescuing people in caves, like, we're going to give them batteries.
And weren't they the ones with the weird commercial of the kid in the park? You remember that one?
Was the kid in the park with a flashlight? Or like
there was some weird commercial. It was like, what, did they put a microchip in that kid? It was like a... It was a weird battery commercial. I can't remember if it was Duracell or Energizer. I'm sure somebody remembers it. I can't remember it. But it was like this mom. She was like calling for her son.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I can't remember. Can't remember. Somebody will tweet in. There's something. It was just on a year.
Was she like tracking him? Kinda?
Yeah, something like that. I want to say it was
battery
Duracell.
Died and like what she was tracking. Yeah, you need a Duracell.
Right, like his battery died or something. It was a weird commercial. I remember people were like, what the hell is this? But I don't know. I don't really. You about to watch it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's at the top of the battery game.
The kids
right
just
now.
Walking around the park. I mean, basically.
Yeah, but it was a weird commercial because she says something like his battery's out or something.
No, I think the battery didn't go out because Duracell's letting them know that, like, you could trust them.
Yeah, but people are like, what, has the kid got a battery? Like a...
No, that's not it at all.
You don't even have
the
volume.
I'm watching it right now. I mean, I can see it. What's happening. The kid is there. She turns around to strap up the car seat. I don't know if there's another baby in there. She's getting his car seat ready.
You can't get the gist of
it. And next thing you know, there's a white van run. I'm watching it right now. There's a white van driving off. She picks it up. It says Kevin. And then... Kevin is shown around the area, and then it says a Duracell logo. Yeah. And then she sees him walking with the red balloon, and she finds Kevin and gives him a hug.
Do you have the closed captioning?
There's nobody else in the video.
You need the context of what she says.
I think she's just freaking out that her kid's gone.
No.
I'm watching
it
right now.
It's not that simple.
It is that simple.
No, it was. There's something else with the commercial.
I'll turn it on. Kevin turns around.
I do remember this one. Okay. See, I knew there was some sort of tracker.
Yeah, I mean, she pulls out the tracker. It says Kevin. I said it's Kevin. Okay. I said she pulls it out. The battery's working. She
Isn't
finds
that
Kevin.
Weird?
That's exactly what I told you it was.
Isn't that weird?
No. I mean, I think it's a little weird that you have, like, a beeper on your kid. Like, I don't... Do people do that? I mean, I guess they got
Where
some...
Where is his tracking device located?
Was it planted in him at birth? I guess they got some co-op money from Brickhouse Child Safety on that. So Duracell and Brickhouse probably split that advertising money. But, yeah, I mean, the kid, she turns around, the kid's walking her way, and there's a van, and she's like, oh, no, is he in the van? Bad time to own a white van, I guess. I mean, it's just, I feel like I would get a different color van if I was a painter or something, like, make it a rainbow color
so
thing or
something.
So many
stereotypes around it. You just assume.
They either think you're the DC sniper or you're a child molester. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, you are either somebody shooting out the side. I mean, it turned out the DC sniper wasn't even using a van, but people thought he was for a while, so people were getting hassled back in the day. You guys remember the DC sniper?
No. Speaking of
You don't remember the DC sniper?
Hmm?
You don't remember the DC sniper?
No.
Cam, you remember the DC sniper?
No, off the top of my head.
Really?
I don't think so.
I mean, I've always acknowledged that I'm a little bit older than you guys, but I've...
Yeah, you're like 42.
I feel like it was still would have been like when you guys were like 8 or 9. I feel like the DC sniper, wasn't that like an 03 or something like that? Was it?
I would have been 10.
Yeah, I mean, do you not remember stuff when you were 10?
Yeah, but not everything.
This was a huge story. I mean,
I remember Emilio Gonzalez.
It was 2002, so Emilio Gonzalez.
Yeah.
You don't remember Emilio
Yes,
Gonzalez.
I do. Yes, I do.
That was
I
like 1999. You'd have been I remember like 5 or 6 when that happened.
You don't remember things from when you were 6?
I'm just saying, if you don't remember the DC sniper, I don't understand how you remember Emilio
there's
Gonzalez.
There's no possibility that I might have a memory from when I was 6, but I might have missed something when I was 8.
I'm just simply saying the level of stories, I think the DC sniper stories would have been way bigger for a 7, 8-year-old kid.
I don't remember it.
They're teaching poor kids to have to walk in zigzags.
What year was that?
2002.
I was still recovering from 9/11. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on. We were about to go to Iraq.
I would say the 9/11 stuff should have had you on higher alert. Like, this is when you should
have
been paying attention
to the
news.
I don't know if you remember, but there was anthrax. And the people were worried about getting envelopes full of anthrax. I mean, I had a lot going on in 02. I guess the DC sniper just kind of fell by the wayside. There's a lot of other stuff happening, man. You know, man? They
didn't
even finish the cleanup at the World Trade Center.
I'm just saying it's weird that you would remember the little Gonzalez kid who you called Emilio, who was actually Alien.
That's what I meant, Alien Gonzalez.
Yeah,
so I just remember that name. I just remember the name from TV.
You didn't remember the name. You got the name wrong.
Well, you knew who I was talking about.
You said Emilio was Elion.
Yeah, no. Well, I was 6. I must have gotten it wrong.
I'm just
saying
you
can't
say you remember the name. You didn't remember the name.
I remember Scott Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Natalie Holloway.
Sure.
I remember...
I mean, there was a sniper in cars, like, shooting people in D.C.
Well, that happens. I mean, that's, you know, that's just
No, it
standard.
Doesn't really happen. You don't really...
You like, ever been to Juarez?
Serial killers, like, don't really just... they're not really out here just, like, sniping people.
It happens. You know, a guy gets sniped, you know? I mean, that could happen to anybody. We
they
could
got
walk,
10 people in the Baltimore, Washington area.
We could walk out the station. There could be a guy out in that big oak tree out there with a sniper rifle. I mean,
actually,
it happens.
I had an update about this in February of this year.
Really? What happened? That must have fallen by the wayside.
Supreme Court dismisses D.C. sniper case after change in Virginia parole law.
What does that mean? Like he was going to get out on parole, but then they're like, you know what? Never mind. We're not letting you out on parole. Because it was an old man and a young kid. That was like a sidekick. Maybe they're going to let the
classic
kid out.
Story, like the Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, there's a 41 and a 17 year old hanging out, and he has.
You got the mentor, then you got the prodigy.
Yeah,
classic.
In 10 months, they killed 17 people and wounded 10 others. I mean, they were shooting people. You couldn't go outside that area.
In how many months?
10 months.
They killed 17 people.
Yeah.
So they averaged what, like 1.5, a little over 1.5 a month.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
Sounds like they weren't that accurate.
Oh, yeah, this younger guy may get out in, like, 5 years.
Is that it?
He has a bunch of life sentences, but they said, like, the way, since he was a juvenile, you can sometimes get parole after 20 years.
Yeah.
Did they go out shooting every day?
Well, obviously not if they only killed 17.
I was just saying, maybe they weren't that accurate. Maybe they were trying to pick their spots.
I mean, I think that's what they were doing, trying to pick their spots.
What, were they just hiding them, like, just...
Ended up being shooting out, like, back of a car, I think. Mm.
Oh, so he originally actually had life without parole, but this law changed it, so now he probably will get parole.
Okay, so basically like, you couldn't give a minor life without parole?
Yeah.
No matter what the act was, you had to at least give them the option of parole?
Yeah.
Now, whether or not it gets approved, I think that's a different story. I think when I hear life without parole, you don't have the chance for parole.
Yeah.
So when you have the chance for parole, you at least get to go and present your case. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still no guarantee.
Yeah, you don't necessarily get out. You have to show that you are rehabilitated.
I mean, is
and
there that
case,
much... But, so that much difference between 17 and 18 when you're sniping people out of cars. I mean,
yeah.
Jesus.
Now, which, you know, I don't know if he was, I don't think he was the one pulling the trigger, which I don't know if that matters or not. But yeah, like you said, the year difference, it's not like he was like 13. He's 17.
Yeah, that's, he was probably charged as an adult.
I would imagine he was because it wreaked havoc and it was in the nation's capital, so. Can't believe you guys don't remember that story at all.
It must have slipped by.
Because you'd have been, what, 9, I guess? 8? In October of 2002?
That would have been nine.
Cam, how old you have been?
My parents were getting divorced around that time, too.
Maybe.
So that was probably like what I had. What? When was that? Did you say August?
October of 2002.
Oh, yeah. My parents had just gotten divorced. So, like, I was probably going through that. Probably. You know, didn't really pay attention to the DC sniper. And maybe that's, you know.
Could be a good thing.
Maybe it's a good thing they got divorced, you know.
To protect you from the DC sniper?
Yeah. I mean, because had they been married, maybe they wanted to take a trip to the Washington Monument or something. You know, boom, dead. So
you would have been a big target, too. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. It's something we already kind of knew, but man, it sucks to be a running back. Because I feel like if you're Derrick Henry, like you feel like you should be the one who gets paid. Like if you can't get paid after the performance you had this last year, you would have to feel pretty helpless to be a running back unless you are just someone who is going to be a guy who catches passes a lot, right? Like, turns out that's what you got to do. The regular running backs, as we know them, aren't going to be valued properly moving forward. And I wonder, like, if the timeline was different and we were 2 years removed, would the Cowboys have still paid Zeke the way they paid him? Like, I wonder if he's done enough in Dallas to make them feel like, hey, you're worth the money. Good job.
They can't even seem to work a deal out for their quarterback. Yet they gave him all that money.
Well, Zeke made it into the season holding out, right? Like, Zeke used his leverage. Dak didn't use his leverage. Derrick Henry didn't use his leverage. Because now, once Derrick Henry signed the franchise tag, he pretty much lost his leverage. And I don't know what the in-the-locker-room feelings are going to be. I don't know how Derrick Henry feels. Because the Titans, Cody, at every turn kept saying, hey, we're going to get a deal done with Derrick Henry. We want to do a long-term deal. We want to give him a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Derrick Henry in good faith signed this franchise tag saying, I trust in these guys. We'll get it done. I don't want to be a distraction because, I mean, Derrick Henry's never been a distraction. I mean, he comes from the Alabama model where you just come in, do your job, trust the process, that type of thing.
Just put your hard hat on and grab your lunch pail and you go.
Yeah, basically.
You go and then, you know, sometimes you get hit by a beam.
Sometimes you get hit by a beam, but it's a good thing you have the hat on.
Right.
That's why you got the hard hat on.
Sometimes you are the beam.
Sometimes you are the beam in Derrick Henry's.
And that's Derrick Henry most of the time.
So, I don't know how he feels today. I don't know if he feels misled. I don't know if he feels like he was taken advantage of or what. But the Titans kept saying, hey, we are going to work out a long-term deal. We're gonna pay you. And then a pandemic happens and the money becomes a question. And now they're like, guess we're not getting that done. And a lot of people will say, hey, it's a smart thing to do. You don't pay running backs. Because if you go down the list of running backs who have been paid, there's not a lot of winning that follows it.
Just a whole lot of torn ACLs.
Just a whole lot of torn ACLs or guys being a little bit less explosive. And when you're a little bit less explosive at that price tag, it's a bad deal. And like I said, I wonder if the Cowboys, how they feel about Ezekiel Elliott. New York Jets feel about Le'Veon Bell, right?
Yeah. That.
I can imagine that they're not looking around saying, oh, we got a bargain.
They've made a lot of bad moves over the years.
Yeah, they're probably regretting a whole bunch of stuff, but paying Le'Veon Bell, I would say, is on that as well.
Where do you rank running backs in terms of worst jobs you can have?
I mean, in terms of just in America, I mean, it's still low because, you mean, Derrick Henry is going to make $10 million next year. But in sports, in the NFL, the NFL aside, like in all of sports, it's probably the worst.
Yeah, I mean, it's ahead of like Dollar General cash.
Yeah.
You know,
but like in the landscape of
maybe
sports.
Maybe not far. Those people seem happy.
No CTE.
They have good benefits, I think. I think they're better than Dollar Trees.
Daughtry's, is it still around?
I don't know. I just when
I know I know the Dollar General's popping up. I mean, they pop up.
Dollar Tree's still around.
Okay, I was gonna say that's a
scam though.
I see a new Dollar General almost every time I hit the road. Those things are popping up, still multiplying.
Dollar Tree's kind of a scam. It used to say everything for a dollar, you know, and you go in there.
I thought that's what separated them from Dollar General.
Well, yeah, me too. But you go in there now, and it's like you can get like some things are a dollar. You know, you can get like a bag of those toy soldiers for a dollar, those plastic soldiers.
Sure.
Or you can get like an off-brand candy bar for a dollar. But now they've raised their prices on the stuff.
You got to.
Some things are $2 now.
Maybe they should be the $2 tree.
Like if you want a bag of cat food, that's going to be at least $3 to $4. Go ahead, Cam. Make your joke. Go ahead. Come on. Hit me. Where's your one-liner?
I'm going to leave you and cat food alone.
If you want the wet, it's even more expensive.
And you look at the upcoming free agent class of 2021, and basically it's going to be full of people who are going to want to get paid, and it's going to be full of talent, and I don't know who all is getting paid. Have you seen the list of free agents in 2021 for running backs? Because if I'm Derrick Henry, I'm pissed. That's what's making me mad is, like, you're not paying me, and you're going to send me out into this market. Let me just read you the names who are free agents in 2021 at the running back position.
All right.
Okay, we'll start with, I guess we'll just start at the top.
I'll try to match them to the teams.
On where they're going to sign or where they're at?
On where they're at.
Oh, I'd hope you'd be able to
we'll see
where they're all at.
Clinton Portis on there?
Clinton Portis is not on here.
All right, hot start.
All right, let's start with Marlon Mack.
Colts.
Tariq Cohen.
Bears.
That would have been really embarrassing if you didn't get that one.
They're like my third favorite team.
James White.
Well, he was with the Patriots.
He's still with the Patriots.
Okay.
Kareem Hunt.
Browns.
Philip Lindsay.
Broncos.
Matt Breida.
Chargers. No. Matt Breida. San Francisco?
Yeah, but I think he got traded, right? Didn't he get traded?
Yes.
Didn't he get traded to the Dolphins?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Matt Breida. James Conner.
Is he related to the people from the Breida filter?
It's the water. EIDA, not I. Oh. Yeah. James Conner.
Pittsburgh.
Leonard Fournette.
Jacksonville.
Todd Gurley.
Where did he go? Did he go? Falcons, right? Yeah.
He did.
Kenyon Drake.
He was with the Dolphins. I don't know where he's at now.
You don't know?
Kenyon Drake.
I mean, we know where he's at.
Where the hell is he at? Cam, give me a city.
Nope.
Give me a city.
I'll give you 5 seconds.
I don't know.
NFC. I'll give you NFC.
Arizona Cardinals.
That's what I was going to say.
No, it wasn't. Joe Mixon? You still playing the game or you give up?
Joe Mixon?
Yeah.
Bengals.
Aaron Jones?
Packers.
Alvin Kamara?
Saints.
Dalvin Cook?
Vikings. That's a hell of a running back class.
Derrick Henry. Yeah. No, I mean, like, basically, that's half the league starters.
Every
one of those guys is a starter or at least a really good guy. Like, Kareem Hunt's, I guess, not technically the starter in Cleveland, but he is a starting caliber running back.
Maybe that's what the Titans are thinking.
Well, yeah, and if I'm Derrick Henry, I'm pissed off about that because, like, you're sending me out with no security in a crowded free agency class in a league where they don't pay running backs, where we're going to be lucky to get an $8 million deal.
No loyalty.
It's tough, man. It's tough. And like I said, I don't know how it's playing in the locker room, but I would imagine that the players in that locker room in Tennessee know that Derrick Henry is the reason that they went as deep into the playoffs as they did. Like, I've seen some Titans fans making it an argument between Tannehill and Henry. I don't think that's the route to go because I think both are important because, I mean, like, Derrick Henry wasn't doing that with Marcus Mariota at the beginning of the year. The team wasn't winning with just Derrick Henry riding him. So, like, I'm not going to make it a Mariota versus Tannehill thing, and, like, you're going to pay the quarterback more. I get that just because, you know, quarterbacks, we know that that's where the value is in the NFL. But I know in the locker room they know that Derrick Henry is the face of the franchise on the field. I've talked about it before. Like, when you go to Titans games, especially on the road, they're not chanting, like, go Titans go or anything like that. They're just chanting Henry. Henry, Henry, like that was the chance in New England. Those were the chance in Baltimore. Like that, those are the ones. That's what you're screaming. That's what the fans are latching onto. And now you're at a real impasse, a turning point where you don't know if this is the last year. And every time now, when you ask Derrick Henry, "Hey, you're hot. Let's ride you. Here's 30 carries for 200 yards." If you're Derrick Henry, do you just do it and say yes, sir? You're like, "Hey, man, like." I remember what the Cowboys did to DeMarco Murray. I don't really want you to ride me into the ground for with another 300-and-something touch season and then send me out to free agency without paying me, and now people are going to look at me as if I'm done. Like, Derrick Henry hasn't really had any injury history, and he is kind of a physical specimen. Not kind of. He is a physical specimen at the position, but, like, he's one bad hit this year from losing a lot of leverage and a lot of money.
I do think they're going to try and run him into the ground a little bit. I mean,
maybe not. I mean, maybe they you know, drafted that running back in the third round to try to give, you know, a running back out there that can, you know, touch the ball 10 times a game, whereas Deion Lewis couldn't touch the ball 10 times a game. Maybe the new Appalachian State running back will come in and be able to do that. But still, if you're Henry, like, I feel less good about carrying the ball 30 times if I'm asked to do it this year.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I would be worried about him ending up like the former King Henry. Maybe not to the level that Eddie Lacy.
Which one? What number?
Maybe not to the level Eddie Lacy did. But
what number are we talking about?
Henry VIII, the most famous King Henry.
There'd be seven before him.
Well, I understand that.
That's what I was asking.
But Henry VIII was the famous King Henry, the one that people know when you talk about King Henry. And you want to know how?
Is he the sun god?
No. But he did have
one of the King Henrys, the sun god?
I'm not sure. He did have six marriages, though. But I was trying to see what Derrick Henry's fate.
The sun king. Oh, maybe that was Louis. That was Louis the 14th. Never mind.
Well, you want to know how
the other seven Henrys did anything?
Henry
VIII is the one that, you know, he's one of the more important men in history when you consider that, you know, he led to Bloody Mary and her reign of terror and just all that stuff.
Well, his reign ended when he became obese and the leg wound from a jousting accident became ulcerated. So I'm just thinking about fates and King Henry's, and I'm a little worried about Derrick Henry.
Sure.
He could have a similar fate. He's got a big frame.
I think he's going to get obese, at least while he's playing. Like, I mean,
he has a leg wound.
Maybe eventually he will not want to work out at that level he works out now. But, no, I mean, it's possible that the leg injury could be his ultimate demise.
I'm just thinking, you know, King Henry today versus King Henry back then. Like, King Henry today, I doubt he'll get a leg wound from jousting, but for his, you know, particular arena, which is the NFL, he could certainly get a leg injury.
Apparently, Henry V was a big-time king of England as well.
Big time.
He only had a 9-year reign, but his outstanding military success in the Hundred Years' War against France made England one of the strongest military powers in Europe. So,
is that what you're hoping for with Derrick Henry?
I'm looking at other King Henrys. I mean, a short reign in Tennessee. I mean, he has made us one of the better teams in the conference. I mean, maybe he could do it again this year, and, you know, we could.
Will you become a world power, though?
A world power.
Could the Titans become the power?
A world power. I mean, you have to win the Super Bowl, and that seems a little, you know, that seems a tough ask.
You could consider. It'd be nice. I mean, could consider the Chiefs right now, like the French. They kind of got a hold over you. You know? But hey, you take Napoleon out, which in this analogy is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
They got Napoleon. Boom.
It's possible.
Then they become just a bunch of French, you know, crybabies.
That running back class is crazy. And I don't know, like, how many you'll see, like, stay with their team or if they're all just kind of be out left in the, you know, kind of left out in the cold. We obviously haven't seen the Vikings pay Dalvin Cook. We haven't seen the Saints pay Kamara. You'll see a lot of turnover there, I'm guessing, and we'll see how much money is passed out. If I'm Derrick Henry, though, I'm mad. If I'm in that locker room, I'm probably like, man, you know, it's probably something you always have in the back of your mind as a NFL player of like, hey, it's a business and all that. But like, when you see that, like, no matter what you do on the field, you're going to have a glass ceiling. That has to be a bad feeling to have, right? Of just seeing that, like, there's only a couple guys in that locker room who can actually get paid the big money.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, if you're in that locker room, you think Derrick Henry is the reason the Titans are successful. And, you know, you watched up close and personal as he ran for 200 yards three straight weeks to carry you to the AFC Championship. And you're probably like, oh, man, this doesn't seem fair. It's a cold game. And then you probably look at Mike Vrabel a little bit differently. You know, if I'm in the Titans locker room and as a Titans fan, I'm kind of looking like, ah, man, this is Belichickian of him. And you start realizing that they want to build a Patriots type of program, and what the Patriots do is get rid of guys a year early versus a year too late. You don't lock yourself into bad contracts. And then all of a sudden I'm looking at, man, we had two leaders in this locker room the last couple years, or at least we've had two separate leaders at parts of these last three or four years. Maybe even three. You look at Delanie Walker gone.
Yeah.
Jarrell Casey got shipped off just to save money. And at one point, you thought that extra money was going to be used for free agency, either for Derrick Henry or for Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney ain't coming, at least right now. And Derrick Henry didn't get paid. And for Derrick Henry, you're that other leader. And you're like, man, this is tough.
Yeah, bad draw for running backs.
Bad draw for running backs. Derrick Henry probably would have made a lot more money as like a outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Maybe should have. Went the Jalen Hurd route and switched positions in college.
Actually, you want to be defensive end. That's what Shaq Barrett and them are trying to get. That's right. That defensive end money.
That's right. Shaquille Barrett, he accepted the franchise tag, but was like, just one thing, guys. I am not a linebacker. I am a defensive end. Like, I had, 19 sacks last year? I am a pass rusher. I am not. You're not going to pay me less for being an outside linebacker. No matter where I line up, I am on the line of scrimmage and rushing the passer. Please pay me as a pass rusher.
Money's cool.
Money is cool.
But have you had the glory of being a running back? Like, you know, that's got to be cool, too.
I mean, Derrick Henry, you know.
To just run over defenses and, like, in the middle of winter, and you're just, you know, what he did last year was impressive. I mean, it's special.
You are right about the glory. You are right. But, I mean, the money is probably also important, too.
Yeah, but once you reach a certain level of money, it's the whole threshold of happiness thing.
Yeah, but what's that threshold? Is it?
I mean, what's the difference?
Is it $15 million?
How much just Derrick Henry made?
I mean, he's probably only made like $4 or $5. He's probably made like $6 or $7 million in his career.
And he'll make.
And he's making ten.
Let's
this
say
year.
He'll make.
He's making ten this year.
So he's making ten this year. So let's just say
that's what I'm asking.
Let's just say at the end of the day, the guy's worth $20 million. What's the difference in $20 million?
I wouldn't say he's worth $20 million. You consider agent fees and stuff like that. What you have to spend to,
at the end of his career, you don't think?
I think he'll pass 20 barely by the end of his career. I mean, at this rate, I hope he passes it comfortably.
Let's
but
say at the end of his career, he's worth $18 million. What's the difference in being worth $18 million and $30
million? $12
million. I understand the math. I just
a yacht.
But do you need a yacht? I mean,
probably don't need one, but you might want one.
Like, I mean, $18 million is $18
million. Sure, $30
million.
You're
never going to struggle again.
Sure.
Ever.
I wouldn't, even close. I wouldn't say that at all.
If you live below your means a little bit, you don't. Maybe don't get a yacht.
Well, I mean, I don't think that we have. I think
maybe don't have an entire landscaping staff.
Well, I mean, I think we've seen enough instances of players going broke and not managing their money well, and entertainers going broke because you want the money to keep coming in. And
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you might need that extra $12 million to recoup the money that you've already spent, and the people that you've promised people things. And
if
you
it gets
make
to that point,
and
it's kind of a you
business,
problem.
And then
you get
one bad investment, and who knows? Now you're wiped out. Your manager's taking your money.
At that point, it's kind of a you problem, though. I'm going to say Derrick Henry's good with his money. That's going to be my. That's what I'm thinking. I think he's good with his money.
Okay. I'm not saying he's not.
Do you think he is?
I don't know anything about his financial.
Didn't he have one of those like very, very heavy gold chains? Is he the guy I'm thinking of that had like the, it was worth like, or was it a watch? It was worth several million. No. What was it? Last year. It was last year. Derrick Henry.
Jewelry. Maybe would be the Google search.
How do you spell Derrick? Derrick R-R-I-C-K. Henry. Jewelry, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got an $85,000 chain last year.
That's okay.
It was to honor Kobe, though. That's what I was thinking of. So it was this
Kobe.
Year. It was this year.
$85,000 chain. Diamonds are going to keep their
It does
their
seem
worth.
A little.
As long as he doesn't get it snatched off of him, and I wouldn't want to snatch it off Derrick Henry. As long as he wears it in the right places and doesn't go out flashing it where he can get robbed, then I'm okay. I mean, the diamonds keep their value, right? Like, diamonds, you can always cash those
diamonds
in.
Diamonds are forever.
Diamonds are forever, as Cam says. You can melt down the gold. Like, he'll be fine. What was the chain? Was it a big 2-4?
Every kiss
what was
begins
it?
With K. Huh?
Was it a big 2-4 or what? What was the chain?
It was a chain and pendant. I don't know. It was $85,000.
How did it honor Kobe is what I'm asking. Like, was it was it Kobe's head? Was it
Kobe, Derrick
like big angel wings?
How
like
do you
what?
Spell Kobe?
K-O-B-E.
Necklace. How do you spell necklace? Chain?
Necklace.
Let's see.
Or did he just get the chain?
Yeah, oh, it had a Mamba around it. It was gold. It's a big snake chain? Yeah, it had like a snake around it. It was just covered in diamonds.
Okay. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah, but...
Collector's edition. I mean, who knows? Maybe you can sell for $115,000 at some point.
Grand, though?
Big Kobe fan.
Come on, 85 grand.
Well, that's why he thought he was getting paid this offseason.
Maybe I take back that Derrick Henry's good with his money.
I think he's allowed to splurge. I think he's allowed to splurge and buy a chain if he wants to buy a chain.
Well, maybe the difference in $30 million and $18 million is a lot for him then.
I think it's a lot for anybody.
I'm just saying if you're responsible with your money, I think $18 million is like,
That's you're going to do on your way out here is be responsible with your money, guys?
No, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not good with money. I've never claimed to be good with money.
Wouldn't $30 million give you a little bit more leeway to a little bit more reckless with your money? I think that's what the issue is.
Yeah, but I just, I'd be pretty happy with 18.
Sure. You're going to go that route of, it could be worse.
Do you think he's going to be happier with 30 as opposed to 18?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I think so.
You never watched Oprah.
I watched a couple episodes.
$70,000, that's it.
I don't know if that's the truth or not.
That's what Oprah said. When has she been known to lie?
I haven't seen Oprah turning down her billions of dollars. Like, what? Oprah's the one telling you only need $70,000? Oprah's worth how much money?
I just remember it from Oprah. I think she had a guest on.
But I'm asking, is she the person we're taking the word for this? Like,
it was an expert.
Hey, it's not like she's like, hey, I'll take $70,000 and I'll donate the rest because that's all I need to be happy.
It wasn't actually Oprah. It was an expert.
But she's given the expert the platform, though.
Yeah, but she probably doesn't necessarily agree with everything that everyone's ever said on her show.
Sure.
So let's not...
Well, you're throwing
I don't
Oprah.
Mean to imply that Oprah says you only need $70,000 to be happy.
Please find the name of the person who said that, whatever schmohawk is going around
there
telling people
that. There was some guy she had on.
It carries a little bit more weight when you say Oprah. Don't you agree?
I just meant I saw it on Oprah.
That's fine, but I need the schmohawk's name, who is saying it.
Why are you calling him a schmohawk?
Because I think it's stupid. I think I'd be much happier with $200,000 a year versus $70,000.
Did you never hear money can't buy happiness?
Yeah.
Basically, they were just saying.
I think that means if you're unhappy, you're not going to be happy just because you have money. I think that's saying should be a study into like depression. You know what I mean? I think we make it a thing that's kind of anti-money, but it's real. Like, hey, if you're depressed, money's not going to get you out of your depression. We need to have a whole mental health discussion surrounding that. But I'm pretty content right now.
The point of it was that
I would be much more content if I made $200,000 a year.
I'd rather cry in a big house than in my car that I'm living out of.
Right, but the point of it was that money can make you happy, but it's only up to 70 grand. And then after that, it's kind of on you.
Do you agree with that? Because I think
it's just what the study said. It's what the guy said. I don't know if it's true.
I'm asking you.
I don't know.
Do you agree with it?
I don't know if it's true.
So do you agree with it?
I don't know.
So you've just been saying it 10 times on the air this segment,
I'm referencing this the study.
Which was what?
Without.
By whom?
Referencing it. By like, it's something I saw on Oprah.
It's something you saw years ago back home. A decade ago.
Years ago back home.
I'm sure there's that line of thinking out there, but again, I think it should be much more of a testament or a study onto
mental health.
Cam, send us a break. We'll try to come back with the study. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family.
Have you found the study, Cody? Tweeter wrote in with an article about a CEO in Seattle who raised all of his employees' salary to $70,000 and slashed his from $1 million down to $100,000 and said that there is a significant difference in a person's emotional well-being up to the point where they earn $75,000 a year, which I would point out that he only raised it to $70,000. Like, didn't give him that last $5,000 to really help him, but he did the best he could, and he says it has really helped his employees. And shout out to him, and shout out to Gravity, the company that he did it from. So again, kind of funny though. He says $75,000 is the baseline, and I'm gonna get you there just close enough. $70,000. Have you found the study?
I'm seeing a few different things. This is from data from the Gallup World Poll, reference from a Gallup World Poll, where research confirmed past studies that found around $70,000 was an ideal income for providing day-to-day happiness in the U.S. If you go back to 2010, Time Magazine did an article on the study. They said happiness caps at $75,000. So... And, you know, I'm...
When they say it caps, does that mean, like, you don't get happier at 75, or that's the number you have to get to be happy?
That's
like,
the number.
Which one is it, though?
That's the number to where you don't have to worry about financial struggles, and you don't have to worry about everyday expenses as much, as long as you're living, you know, at or below your means. And I would tend to agree with that. You know, I'm a pretty happy guy. And I, you know, full disclosure, I mean, I only make about $83,000 a year here. But I'm plenty happy with that salary. And that's enough for me. But now they've updated it. So now you got to account for inflation. So now as of 2018, USA Today says money not linked to happiness passed $105,000 in the U.S. So they've raised it $30,000.
So again, it sounds like from these studies that it's the baseline, not the point that you don't become happier, but that you aren't. Like you have to hit a certain amount to be happy with your situation. Not necessarily that you can't get happier. It's just that, like, that's the point where people get happy.
They're basically saying once you're at that point, you don't have to struggle with every day. You know, how am I going to pay the rent?
Right.
How am I going to, you know.
Sure. But it doesn't mean that, like, making $200,000 doesn't make you happier than you would if you made $100,000. That's not what that study is saying. It's basically saying you need to get to
maybe.
$105,000 to be happy and be able to live freely or do whatever they're saying you can do in the article.
It's like you said, it's a baseline. I mean, at the end of the day, though, I don't think – happiness is directly tied to how much money you make.
No, not directly.
You know, it's a baseline.
Again, kinda. I think you have to be happy with the rest of your life, and you can make $10 million a year, but if you're lonely, like, that's not going to buy you real companionship. It will buy you company and friends that aren't really your friends, and, like, yeah, you won't be happier, but if you are happy and you have a good life, and then you go from making X amount of money to $5 million a year, and you're already happy, you're going to be happier.
Look at Anthony Bourdain. Guy spent his whole life traveling the world, eating the best food you could imagine, making great money, just going and doing whatever he wanted. At the end of the day, he wasn't happy.
I mean,
he ended his life.
To what I said last segment about the mental health, like, I think that should always be the jumping off point on these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, again, just money's not going to make those people happy. You got to realize that you have to, fight that struggle no matter how much money you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But me, I think I'm generally pretty happy. I would be much happier if I made much more money.
Yeah. Well, you make around $80,000 a year here, just like me. So, you know, we're both doing
great. A little bit less.
Yeah. I make 83. What do you make?
You pulled in a better year than me. I hear grinding. I appreciate it, but
and when I say 83, I mean I've made $83 this year.
Yeah, but if I'm Derrick Henry, I would be happier. I mean, $10 million, I'm happy with. Don't get me wrong, but I would be happier if you gave me $25 million guaranteed over the next 3 years.
Yeah,
that would take
most of us would.
That would take a lot of professional stress off.
Yeah,
even if I'm Derrick Henry, like if you gave me just like you know. Really, I would say if you just gave me 30 years, 30 million over the next 3 years, I would probably be happy. Just go ahead and just lock in that money. Give me at least another year guaranteed. And, you know, it would just go a long way from me being worried now every time I get hit in 2020 on whether or not I'm going to miss my next paycheck because of an injury. Because if I tear an ACL, if I break a leg, I'm not going to be very useful to that team, to whatever team. In 2021, I might miss a whole year of money.
It does suck when you think about it, like when your income depends on your physical wellness.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, you would be stressed out. Especially, it's one thing to be like physically well. It's another to like my position is running the ball into big guys and getting hit and having people pile up on me and people going low on me because I am a monster. Like I could easily blow a leg out, a knee out, and then I miss a whole year of money.
Imagine that being the standard in radio. Like you break your arm and they won't let you in because you're just
any type of physical.
You're on IR this week.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can still do it with a broken arm. They're like, I don't know. I don't know if you can.
Or if every time you were on the radio, you had a 5% chance of losing your voice. for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I mean, like all of a sudden I'm talking and I'm doing the news and I'm telling you about this new study where $70,000 says that you can't do this.
And then you're on the shelf for a year and you can't earn money off of it. Now, you know, obviously
your pitch just changed.
Like
just...
obviously there's not many people who are gonna cry if a player gets $10 million and can't work for a year and you're like, oh, you made $10 million, that's more money than we'll ever make in a lifetime. I understand that concept of it, but I'm also looking at it from a comparing him to his peers and comparing him to other people in sports.
Mm-hmm.
It would be tough to be a physical running back and then be told, hey, yeah, we don't have anything for you next year, bud. We'll see you at the end of the year. Go run the ball as hard as you can for us.
Good luck.
That'd be tough.
Well, that's, you know, these guys are competitors.
These guys are competitors.
They're the modern-day gladiators.
Modern-day gladiators. That's what I was about to say.
Great expression. I'd say it's a little rude to the gladiators who actually put their lives on the line.
I would say it's maybe a little rude because they had to, right? Like most of the gladiators, I mean, there weren't very many of them that were doing it for the fame and fortune, right?
Like if I'm a gladiator from back in the day and then I see today where Americans are calling these football players modern-day gladiators, I'd be like, why don't you come in our arena for a little while?
They're playing the Lions. We actually were playing real Lions.
Yeah, the actual Lions.
Yeah, like what the mascot was based off of. That's who we were fighting. Now, we did get a sword sometimes.
Whereas you guys are just going against the worst team in the NFC North for the last 40 years.
Sure.
We actually got bit on the leg. Bit.
That should be their home field advantage. They should just release real Lions during the
game. Now, most gladiators were like prisoners, though, right? Like most of them.
They'd win more games.
Prisoners. Yeah. They're basically forced.
So I'm saying they didn't really have a choice. Like, I mean.
Imagine the glory in that, though.
Pretty cool.
Because they were fighting for their freedom, right?
Am I wrong, or did you have to win, like, five fights or something?
Yeah, it wasn't just, like, one fight. If you were good, they wanted you to stay for entertainment.
That's even more impressive. Imagine winning four fights, and you go out for that fifth one, sword in hand. You had to feel like the baddest man on the planet.
You take the L, and you don't get
free. It didn't always work out.
And then by the time the fifth fight, they really stack the deck against you, and there's three lions and two people out there trying to kill you, and they make sure you don't get out. Was that the case? Did gladiators get out after winning a certain amount of fights, or did I confuse that with, like, Death Race or something, like with Jason Statham? Like, I feel like I might be combining the two stories.
Well, I think it's used in a lot of movies, but I think that's the same premise from Gladiator.
Did you ever watch the Gladiator movie, Gladiator?
Yeah, yeah.
From back in the early 2000s?
I was going to say it was, like, either, I think it might just be 2000.
You gave me a look like that's a very dumb question, if everyone has ever seen that movie.
I mean, I feel like if you... watch movies, and you're around our age, you've watched Gladiator, right? I mean, Cam, you ever watched Gladiator?
Sorry, I forgot Roger Ebert. My bad.
I mean, it's a pretty big deal, right? I mean, wasn't Gladiator a pretty big movie?
Yes, yes, Mr. Ebert. My apologies.
I mean, have you ever seen it?
I don't know if I have. It had, who's the actor?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
I mean, it was a pretty big movie. It was up for, like, Best Picture.
Oh, I know it was a big movie.
It was up for Best Picture and, like, Best Actor and stuff. I mean, like, it was a...
I think I watched it, like, on TV, but it's one of those that I don't know that I ever just watched fully all the way through, you know?
It won Best Picture, right?
Oh, man, apparently if you just did, like, an extraordinary performance, it was, like, something they had never seen before or something crazy, you could win your freedom on the spot.
So it's almost like Dana White's fight bonus. Like, if you have the best type of knockout, he'll give you an extra paycheck. So, like, if you
just do something wild.
If you, like, do a backflip.
Extraordinary
and
performance. Yeah.
I would literally take the sword and cut my arm off.
I think you still have to win, though.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you'd have
to. I would just be trying to do as many barrel rolls and, like,
make it super dramatic. Yeah.
Yeah. Twirling up in the air and coming down and stabbing a guy in the shoulder.
It's not super common because it'd be like, one, they're like, okay, that's awesome. And two, sometimes they're like, but we want to see that again.
Yeah. You got to be careful. You can't be too good or else they'll make you keep fighting. Yeah, it won Best Picture and Best Actor in the Academy Awards. So, I mean, it's a pretty significant movie.
I need to add that to my list.
Yeah, it's a pretty significant movie. I mean,
make it 3 to 5 years.
Was that Joaquin's first role? Does it say anything about the first, if you win five fights, you got out, or did I make that number up?
3 to 5 years, you get freedom.
Oh, okay.
It's from 2000.
But it also does say, like, if you win, like, a series of fights, you can win your freedom. Like, apparently there's a game manager that like could overrule like your owner technically and like give you a symbol of freedom.
It's like a commissioner.
Yeah, and just be like, okay, I like this guy. He's free, basically.
I didn't realize it won Academy Awards.
Yeah, I was going to say Best Picture and Best Actor.
Add that to my notes.
And I'm pretty sure Joaquin
was. Watch Gladiator.
Joaquin, I think that's his first big role, and I think he was nominated because, I mean, he was a really good bad guy in that movie. I mean, that's why I scoffed at the question. I mean, come on.
I'm adding it to my notes.
You thought you had a unknown gem or something?
No, I wasn't trying to.
Gladiator's been coming on my TV for like the last 15 years, bro.
I wasn't trying to. I know it's not an uncut gem.
Hour one of the books, hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio.